You're listening to Rambling Business, the only multimedia podcast with Rick and Brandon,
where we get into your business no matter where it is.
And today we'll be talking about the holiest beer on the planet, the Lost Abbey Brewery. We continue this week our San Diego microbrewery series. In case you missed last episode, San Diego is where most of the American microbrewing industry began.
Yes.
I mean, on a big scale anyway.
Well, yeah. That's why they call it micro.
Yeah, a big little scale. We're using all the Latin things today because we're doing Lost Abbey Brewery. And we'll give you some business takeaways as we look at Lost Abbey Breweries, how they manage their growth, and how they got to national stardom. We also have, of course, travel advice and tax tales coming up later.
Not long ago, I had the chance to catch Adam Martinez, who's the director of media and marketing at the Lost Abbey Brewery, before opening time. Because, you know, if you're ever going to a very popular brewery during opening time, you don't want to interview people.
Yeah, no, they're very busy running tours and
that's right.
Testing beer and all sorts of stuff.
I know. Yeah, right, I'll talk to you. Sure, come back, tomorrow.
Come back 17 hours from now.
But the Lost Abbey is a great entrepreneurial story. Vince and Gina Maraglia and Tommy Arthur founded the Port Brewing Company in 2006 after years of developing Belgian-style beer. Now, I am not a big beer drinker, but your mom is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you tell her what Belgian-style beer is, she can tell you all about it.
Yeah, she'll tell you all about it.
In fact, that's the one thing that we missed as far as tasting, because I was there before hours.
They're known for their Trappist ales, are they not?
Well, one of the things...
What?
Trappist ale?
Yeah, no, really.
Really?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of breweries. Trappist monks brew them.
Oh, okay. No, you're right. I remember somebody like that. I think some monasteries
make fruit cake, and some of them make cheese, and some of them make beer, and we all know which one's the most popular.
Well, one of the brewing lines, the port brewing lines, is the Lost Abbey line of beers. The Lost Abbey took over the Stone Brewing Company's brewhouse, which a lot of people know about Stone also, but it enhanced it with a massive barrel room and a 42-foot tasting room, which they call the confessional.
Well, that's funny.
That is great. I love it. I mean, what a better place, you know? It's like... you go to a bar, there's lots of confessions.
Yeah, exactly.
It's wonderful. You know?
Why doesn't the Catholic Church just have a tasting room before you go into the confessional?
You know, that might be Vatican IV coming out.
Oh, that's... Well, I guess they have the communion wine.
That's... There it is. Yeah. But you don't want to taste it. I mean, it's not very good wine. Being an altar boy for 6 years, I knew all about that.
Really?
We were just the tasters.
Oh, that's what happened.
Anyway, at the Lost Abbey, the barrel room has the Latin sign. Now, you're going to have to pronounce this because you took Latin.
Okay, yeah. It's a dead language, so no one knows. But in illa Brettonomyces non fides.
Which means in the wild yeast we believe, or most specifically, in the place we have faith in British fingers.
Oh, okay, because Brettonomyces technically means British fingers. Okay, that's weird.
Somebody stuck their finger in the pie, right?
Well, yeast lives everywhere, including on people. Yeah, so
it works. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, this is the wild yeast. Now, we're in the Wild West here, but we're talking about Britain, so I don't know where it kind of fits in. But anyway, it's called Brett, and it has complex flavors.
Sorry, it's named Brett.
It's named Brett. Well, I call it Brett.
Yeah, right. That's a good name for a yeast.
That's right. It's difficult to control and can ruin a beer if you don't know what you're doing. However, the Lost Abbey has faith, you know, lots of faith, and truly it is a brewer's miracle.
Mm-hmm. You'll notice we talked about the Port Brewing Company, and it's known as Abbey Brewing. It's because there's two sort of different labels. The Port Brewing Company produces IPAs and ales in 22-ounce bottles, which is, you know, the standard beer bottle. And Lost Abbey produces unique craft beers that are expensive to make, and they have those really big 375 milliliter and 75 milliliter Quirch bottles. Both lines have won awards, but the big bottles, that's what you see beer connoisseurs going for. Mm-hmm. It's sort of when craft brewing went and tried to go the wine route, mm-hmm. instead of going the small, large quantity route, they had these artisanal beers.
Yeah, see, that surprised me because Adam was telling me about these expensive beers and that some people just like to do that. They'll spend the money for this great work of art.
Well, and the thing is, sometimes it's so limited with all these different interesting brewing companies that people will travel to because, you know, they're rationed. So there's only so much beer that a bar or restaurant is going to get. So a restaurant will say, hey, we've got this crazy beer, and people will flock from like 100 miles around to get this beer, limited edition beer.
But I guess you can't expect anything any different because like your brother drinks scotch and we've seen scotch be very expensive.
Yes.
In fact, the other day I saw a bottle of scotch for $3,800.
Wow.
It was amazing. It's the most expensive thing ever. I took a picture. I sent it to him.
That's a new car.
That's right. That's a, at least a good down payment on a car.
Yeah.
I know. Well, you can't drink it and drive it. So
it's illegal.
At the same time, it's illegal.
Hey, anybody who drank a car, I wouldn't argue it. That's impressive.
So anyway, the Port Brewing produces labels like Wipeout, Old Viscosity, which I like, that gets in the cars, and Shark Attack. And the Old Abbey produces Belgium-inspired barrel releases of 375 milliliters and 750 cork bottles, as you said. And both of them have won awards, which shows a really good brewery that can play both ends of this consumer demand.
Yep. So the way that they did this, their business secret, if you will, is to manage growth while staying small. So they're doing these limited runs of very expensive to produce beers. And this is a secret sort of because it allows you to weather the market downturns in an industry, because if you're a small company, you probably have a lot less debt. And they focus on two distinct demographics: low-cost brews for the casual drinker, and I believe that's the Port Brewing, and the beer connoisseur who's willing to spend a little more money for craft beer.
They focus on multiple customer targets. So we'll bring you some business tips on who to focus on and how to focus on multiple customer types.
You're listening to Rambling Business. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Rick E. Norris and Accountancy Corporation. If you'd like to get the full experience, check out our website for videos, music, pictures, takeaways, and travel tips. www.ramblingbusiness.com. Now it's time for our tax tales, where we tell you about strange and unusual taxes from the past and the present.
Tax tales, tax tales, tax tales, tax tales, tax tales.
Tax tales. Woo.
And since we're talking about beer today, we figured that we'd talk about how beer is taxed. And this is a really weird one to me. It kind of confused me when I first read it. And it's that in Kansas, weak beer, that's 3.2% alcohol beer sold in grocery store, you know.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know.
That's the kind of beer that you know you drink next to a pool for long periods of time. Oh. Pretty low alcohol content.
Okay.
And it's sold in grocery stores, like other types of beer and liquor, but it's subject to 6.5 sales tax, which seems pretty low, except it's also has an added local tax that brings it to 8.4% overall. Mm. Regular beer, which has normal amounts of alcohol, 8% about, is sold in liquor stores in Kansas and is taxed less at 8%.
Mm.
So it might actually pay for you to start drinking harder, heavier alcohol beer because you'll be taxed less, at least in Kansas.
Why do we always find these weird tax laws in Kansas? Remember the one we did with the hot air balloons?
Yeah, well, they have to tax those because of all the history of hot air balloons in Kansas because Wizard of Oz. Now it's time for our travel tip, where we tell you what you should do going to San Diego.
If this podcast has inspired you to go to the microbreweries in San Diego, I suggest that you do what I did. And that is that I happened to stumble across, and this was actually in a hotel lobby, a map on all the breweries in the whole San Diego area. This is just not San Diego City, but also like Oceanside and Encinitas and all these different towns
areas around.
And so it was this map. It had a list of all the different breweries. But also, it wasn't just breweries. It was also tasting rooms. So they had little symbols about, okay, this is a brewery, which is a tasting room. This one's just a tasting room. So if you don't want to go on a brewery tour, you just go to a tasting room.
If you've already seen too many big metal Bats, what have you.
So it's a really good map. So you can get that map probably at any hotel, definitely at a visitor center, and you can even download it, believe it or not, online. And you can go to San Diego Brewers Guild. That's SanDiegoBrewersGuild.org.
Now it's time for our takeaways, where we tell you how to implement what we've been talking about on the podcast. And the big thing to think about here is that Lost Abbey focused on multiple different customer targets by doing the following.
Number one, focus on your customers' needs. Now, we've talked about this a lot in the different podcasts about customers' needs, because so many businesses say, this is what I produce, you're going to like it.
Yeah. I worked at a pizza place once where the guy said, oh, yeah. You don't like the two slices of pizza that we have on offer? Get out. And then he chased people out.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, one way you can do that is a survey. You could actually do customer surveys and email lists. And there's many times I've gone to restaurants and even on open tables is that they would ask for comments. And take those comments very, very seriously. Sometimes you may only get the ones that complain.
Yep. People are much more motivated to complain.
Right. Yes. But still. If they are complaining, there's a good chance that there are other people complaining about the same thing. So take them seriously. And the other way of finding out your customers' needs is use sites like Yelp and other places like that for feedback. Like I just mentioned, open tables. Because Yelp can make you or break you. There has been, I think your sister talked about this one restaurant, takeaway restaurant, if you want to takeout restaurant. And I think it was Hermosa Beach. And people stopped going there because a couple people complained that their bicycles were stolen when they had them out front when they were picking up the food.
Oh, no.
Something as small as that.
Yeah.
And the high school kids, I don't want my bicycle stolen. They didn't go there. And, you have to respond to things like that, saying, well, we have a, we can help you out with your bicycle lock, or we got locks we can put on there.
You can
or something.
Bring it inside.
Yeah, right. Something, And so little things like that, businesses don't know why business goes down. They think it's the economy, but it could just be something online.
The next thing to think about is you have to focus on your core competencies. For example, Lost Abbey looked at what their passion was. They weren't going to be what every brewery was, pumping out the same style of beer for large amounts of people. They wanted to make unique, bespoke, sort of artisanal beers, and they created a market for it, for these beer heads, these people who would pay a lot of money for very, very good beer. And the second thing to do is you have to focus on what you do better than your other competitors. If you do happen to make artisanal beers, but someone else is doing it more efficiently, expand your passion and maybe look at what else you can do that fits into your core competency.
And the third point is that to put both of these together, and this is something that businesses don't do. Sometimes a business will do surveys and find out what their customers want. And then other businesses will say, what do we do that's so well? Oh, we know what we do well, regardless of what their customers think. And they don't put these two points together, and that's so important to put your core competencies and what your customer needs are together. That's really a formula for success.
Well, yeah, and you want to look outward and inward in
very
business.
Good. Yeah.
You look out to what the public's saying, and then you look inward to see what you can do and marry those together, and that's what makes a strong business.
And then what you end up doing is, when you're successful, you become an industry leader instead of a follower. You're one of the top 5% entering the industry. For example, Lost Abbey, they had this passion for Belgian-style beers and then craft beers. So they found that passion, and then they found out that certain customers liked these things, so they started making them and started getting more and more feedback, and it just kind of feeds on itself. So that's really important to put those two things together.
Now it's time to answer questions from our viewers, and this one came over email. Jonathan asks, should I do my tax return if it's really simple? I do it by myself? Really?
Right. You should always do your tax return.
Even if it's complicated, the IRS will come for you.
That's right. Franchise Tax Board, anybody else. Jonathan, first of all, it depends what you mean by simple. Some people may think that a simple return is a little more complex, like business owners, you have a business.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but there is, believe it or not, and I actually wrote an article on this years ago, that the IRS on irs.gov has a free file site where you could actually file your return for free.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to hire a CPA like me or a tax preparer or an enrolled agent.
Or one of those big tax companies does it online.
You could do it yourself if you meet the qualifications that they have. So you'll have to go to irs.gov, look at the free file site part of the irs.gov, and check and see if you qualify. If so, you could get away without spending hundreds of dollars, and you could use that on craft beers.
Yep. A big thank you this week goes out for our iTunes comments and stars from Jay Fishizzle.
Jay
Fishizzle.
Fishizzle, yes.
I bet that's his real name.
Fishizzle?
Fishizzle.
Fishizzle.
And this one's a little harder to pronounce. It's a lot of T's and S's. So whatever snake found out how to use iTunes, thank you for listening to the show. That's all we have for this week. Tune in next week when we finish our series on the San Diego microbrewery industry with the superhero of the industry, the Green Flash. That's like a, is that like a Hulk Flash hybrid?
I don't know.
I actually do know what that's about, but I'll wait till next week to tell you.
Okay.
But till then, I'm Brandon.
This is Rick. And thanks a lot for listening. We'll see you next Tuesday when we like getting into your business, no matter where it is.
Our music and podcast was produced by my brother, Devin S. Norris. For all your music composition and podcast needs, check out www.devinsnorris.com.